Hi, I'm Marty Gruzzani, and this is the Marty Gruzzani Show. As a full-time real estate investor and business owner, I have a real fascination of finding the key principles for business success and personal development. This show is a reflection of my personal mission to find out what truly makes somebody successful in business and in life. We will find tools and tactics that they've used to reach those levels. If you're the type of person is not satisfied with average and you have a hunger for learning that will never cease, this show is for you. Welcome to the show.
Joshua Briner.
What's up, brother?
Good to have you, man.
That's good to be here.
We've been trying to do this for a while.
You told me to get a hold of your people, sidelining me. No, I'm happy to be here, bro. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm laughing because, was that your partner you just took a call with?
Yeah.
So we're probably, Matt and I are on the phone easily 20 times a day.
Yep.
Is that about right?
Yeah. I mean, it varies, but I would say it averages to 10 to 20 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Feel like that's the key to success in a business relationship.
I mean, it's really a marriage. I mean, You're married. I mean, you're legally bound to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You got an LLC. We got a 50-50 partnership.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you could break it off if you want to, but I'd have no reason to do that with my partner. I mean, we communicate well. As long as that communication is there and you have skill sets that balance each other, mm-hmm. which we have,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you just got to talk through the problems and make stuff work.
Yeah, I think the key to a good partnership, I was actually having a conversation with somebody today about it, because you always read about how, or you always see how partnerships are like, people are scared of them and Oh my God, they always fail.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, bad partnerships are bad, right? But when you have a good partnership, it's unbelievable. It's like the best thing that could ever happen.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, so like when I look for somebody, a partner, like I was very thoughtful about my approach to finding a partner. I knew I wanted one. And I genuinely just looked for someone that did the stuff that I don't like to do and that I'm not good at.
Mm.
And also somebody that I could communicate with and that I had an alignment with and like morality and ethics and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Personality profile type stuff, you know, like, where do they fall in conscientiousness? Are they thinkers or feelers, judges, perceivers, like that type of stuff. And it came together real good.
Mm, yeah, you were real thoughtful with that.
I tried to be, man, because I read all the same stuff you read. And I didn't want to be trapped in a bad partnership. I wanted to build something with somebody because I knew if I was focusing my effort on everything, I'd never be able to scale at the rate I wanted to.
Mm. Yes, I agree. It does allow you to grow. It allows you to go further, mm-hmm. right? And it definitely allows you to focus on what you're really good at, because I think sometimes people are like, oh, I should work on my weaknesses. Well, in reality, you should just double down on your strengths mm-hmm. and then either hire out or partner on the stuff that you're weak at, you know, because then what that does is allows you to go, you know, 10x on what you're good at.
Right.
And then the other thing, if somebody can come in and bring value to it, it can explode the growth of your business.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, we are like 100% of the same mind on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I always refer to like Andrew Carnegie, who was like a steel tycoon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his like most famous quotes is like, I can walk into any one of my steel manufacturing plants and find people that know more about manufacturing steel than I do.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why like you partner with the right people, you 10X what you're good at, you hire out what you're not good at. And you're the conductor standing in front of the orchestra, you know?
It's a good point. Do you find that you devalue what you're good at?
I do. Yeah, because, and you and I, like, it's funny because our partnerships really parallel one another, I think, in terms of like the value that we provide our partnership and what our partners do. And I used to, but the more and more time I've spent, like every book or everything I've ever listened to having to do with business, I've done 20, 30, 40, 50 times that reading and listening on psychology.
Mm.
And even when you read a business book, right? If you're reading How to Win Friends and Influence People or like 48 Laws of Power, I guess you could call a business book, Atomic Habits, like half of them are having to do with like relationship building, personality traits, how to get along with people, how to work together, how to win friends and influence people. Like, I mean, that's a super important skill set. So while it might be organic for people like you and I, that doesn't demean the value that it actually brings to a partnership and the value that it brings to the space in business.
Mm.
So I do at times, to answer your question, but I'm starting to embrace it more and more and really like value my own skill set.
I think that's the key though, is that, you know, not every time, right? But I always think that my partner's value is way better and more than mine.
Yeah.
But he'll say that, you know, hey, don't worry about it. We need you.
Right.
So it's important. You know, it's nice. But again, I also come from a we find that, you know, my portion of the business is finding the deals, networking. Again, like you said, it's all stuff that is, I guess, simple. It's not easy. These things are not easy, but they're just simple for me. Mm-hmm. But for other people, it's not. And it would be like, you know, working in a coal mine for some people to do a dial. But for me, I enjoy it, right? Like for some people, it's just absolutely brutal. Me, it's just, it comes naturally. So it's just funny that you really need that. You really need your partner to believe whatever you're doing is as valuable or more than what you're doing for longevity and success in a partnership.
Yeah, I mean, like, with human communication, for example, there's this rule. Are you familiar with the, what is it, the 7-38-55 rule?
No.
It was developed by psychologist Albert Arabian, I believe his name was. Essentially, what this has to do with is how we communicate with one another. And essentially, like, 7% of our human communication is actually what we say verbally. Mm. And then you have the 38% that is actually, like, your intonation and your pitch. It's like, I'm sure your wife has said to you before, like, it's not what you said, Marty, it's how you said it.
Sure.
Right. Like, sure. We've all heard that in relationships or from our parents or whatever. So there's a lot of truth and validity to that. And then the other 55% is, like, your posture, your demeanor, your face. Like, I get bad, like, resting bitch face. I have to force myself to, like, smile because I know how people perceive me when I look that way or, like, what you wear. And I say all that to say, like, those skill sets are as innate in a human being as being the world's best basketball player is in LeBron James. I don't know shit about basketball. I should use a different comparison. But there's things that, you know, you have inside you that if you can monetize them, like, good for you. And if you can build on them, which I think we both do, we spend time doing the listening and doing the reading and at the meetups and the events, like, kudos to us, man. False modesty is a form of hypocrisy. And I value my skill set while also, like, seeing my shortcomings and where I need to improve.
Yeah, I need to get better at that. I need to get better at...
You should, bro. I mean, you're among the best, man. Like, I think back to the morning meetups. Like, I remember that's the first time I ever really saw you. I don't know if you remember me from those, but you were already a guy at those meetups. Like, I was just popping in, like, what's up, everybody? I'm a teacher. I got a house I'm working on. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't doing anything in real estate and, like, you already established going around the table, talking to people. People knew who you were. So you've been at this for a while, man.
And I appreciate that. Yeah. And as you were saying, the groups that we're leading, I think, are really cool. I think that that's really where I get a lot of excitement. And I do get a lot of, I feel value by doing that. I feel like I'm giving a lot of value by doing that. Mm-hmm. I feel like same for you, right? Like that's a really cool thing that we're doing.
Yeah, 100%.
What, like, are we doing?
So basically, and again, man, I tell you this all the time, and you're a modest dude, and I appreciate that, but you and Brian started Upstate New York Real Estate Investors, the Facebook group, and kind of turned it into a social networking apparatus. And I'd go to your meetups, and I was always a watcher. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to find my lane in this real estate world of Upstate New York and Rochester, New York. And I settled on the Airbnb, like, the short-term rental, mid-term rental lane. That's the lane I picked. But it was all the people that I watched and listened to that led me down that lane. So seeing what you did with your Facebook group and what you did with the meetups inspired me to say, like, this lane's not taken over here.
Right.
Why don't I take it?
Yep.
And that's why I started my Facebook group. And I remember I was trying to do my own events for a little bit. And I'm like, I like going to Marty's events. And I only have so many of these events in me a month. You know what I mean? So
same.
That's when we kind of talked. And it makes sense because there's crossover. Like, in my future, I'm going to be outside of the short-term rental and mid-term rental game. Like, my long-term goals are to get more into just regular, like, long-term rental real estate, maybe some flips, whatever. And I'm sure you're of the same mind if the right deal approaches.
Absolutely.
So it only made sense for us to kind of merge what we were doing together and build that relationship and cooperate and host these events and bring people together in this real estate world, man. I love it, bro. It excites me. It's awesome.
Yeah, you're really good at that. Like, you're good at, like, the operations, I feel like, on something like that. Like, yeah, and not really just operations, but I think you really think through, where I'm more, I would like to get better at, like, hey, if I do this, this is what it's going to do. Like, I had no idea it was going to be, you know, almost 10,000 members, and same with your group, almost there as well. And, you know, the meetups are now pretty bananas. Like,
it gets big,
yeah. And people are really enjoying them.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard for a little bit because, like, I remember, like, when you were doing your own for a while, like, there was a couple where we got, I mean, probably like 70 people.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them came from Airbnb though.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and then when we stopped doing it for a little bit, I think that kind of, that killed our momentum a little bit.
Yeah.
But once we restarted, now we got the ball rolling again.
My freaking baby got in the way.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him when I get home.
Yeah. Yeah. But once we got the ball rolling again, man, it's been great. Like we're getting a big turnout. I mean, we probably had, I don't know, 50 people at the last one, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of real estate agents, which I love to see, man. Yeah. I love to see the real estate agents come out because sometimes people think it's just for investors.
Right.
It's not.
No.
You want to invest in storage lockers. You want to be a hard money lender.
Yep.
Like, there's so many different supporting industries that have to do with what we're trying to build.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it all, bro. I love seeing everybody come out.
That's great. No, and you're right. All those people were there. I mean, there was hard money lenders everywhere, which was cool. Like, for people that were... that are interested in getting into real estate, man, wouldn't you have loved to be able to go to a place where you know that there's going to be lenders there?
Oh, and deals.
Right, and deals.
You know, you could flip paper that night. You know,
absolutely.
It's happened at our meetups several times.
Yeah, easily. I've gotten a partner for a storage facility from that meetup.
Yeah.
Right? And, oh my God, all great things. And I think that's the power of getting outside your comfort zone and going to these things. I think a lot of people, they're always saying... like, even when I invite people on a podcast, they're like, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, just get out of your comfort zone. I think they're like, they're waiting to be like, before you can go to a networking, well, I've only flipped one house, or I only have one rental.
Yeah.
Like, you always hear that before someone can come somewhere. It's like, what do you mean? That means you need to come. That means you gotta go. Like, my God, I wish I knew about these things when I first started and had nothing, because then I would have been able to pick a mentor and like emulate that instead of just... right. Through like a social network on like BiggerPockets or like reading about things,
right.
You know, I went, and then, oh, by the way, they would have taught you not what not to do, which we made all those mistakes on what not to do.
100%. So many mistakes and like so many mistakes that could have been mitigated had I found like the proper mentor earlier on. Like, and I understand the sentiment, like it's nerve wracking. It's scary. You don't know anybody. Like I remember going to my first meetups, man. I'm like, these guys and women are like so cool and they have all these properties and they know so much stuff. And I'm just like Poindexter in here, like looking stupid. And it's like, bro, the more you go and expose yourself to this stuff, the more you learn, the more, like, we're all going to embrace anybody that comes in there.
Absolutely.
I love seeing young blood. I mean, there's that kid, Chris, he's like 19 years old. He comes in there, man. Every time I see him, I'm like, hell yeah, bro. 19.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris Wise. he's always bopping in there. I think he's like 21, but.
Oh, is he my fault?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's 21.
Yeah.
But maybe I caught him drinking. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he's 21. But long story short, dudes like that get me inspired. Like, man, I wish that I would have been doing this stuff a little bit earlier 100%. Too, man. I think it's great. Like, and these guys are hustling, you know, trying to find deals. Like, I love that stuff. That gets me amped up.
And it's like, even if you're just sitting back, it's like, build your foundation, man. Like, this quote I heard the other day, and it's stuck with me, and it's probably played out at this point, but, you know, people come a lot of times, it's like, they want a butterfly. I want my butterfly. I want something big and beautiful, and they, like, go chase it around. It's like, you might catch one eventually, but they're usually going to fly away.
Yeah.
Like, if you want... to catch butterflies, build your garden. Mm. Where's your garden at?
Mm.
You know, and it's like, you have no value. You're not bringing any value. And I love that. You shouldn't. You know, if you're 21 or there was a couple young women that came to last meetup, they were like 23 and 24, young entrepreneurial women. You're probably not going to have a ton of value to bring, but you're going to get the information you need to build your garden.
Yeah.
And then once you bring value to people like you, or maybe even somebody like me, that's just going to make you more and more powerful in the space.
We got a dog next to me right now. This guy's a dog just spitting hot flame right now. And for those who don't know, I didn't really give you a good introduction. I know I said Josh Briner, but Josh Briner really is the baritone voice of the Airbnb community. he is one of the owners of Vibe Property Management.
That's right, yep.
And they are, I would say, the premier third-party Airbnb short-term rental, mid-term rental property managers in upstate New York. I don't know many. I don't have any. And that's why I really wanted you on here because, you know, Airbnb, it was so freaking hot 2018, 19, 20. And then you have the pandemic and then it went bananas.
Yeah.
Right. For a while. And so where are we with Airbnbs in the market right now?
So, I mean, thanks for the introduction, bro. I mean, like Vibe, I would say like we are definitely the company that's grown the quickest.
Yeah.
And I think we've done so well also providing an exemplary service, which is tough to do. We're coming up on 2 years, May 1st. So,
Wow, it's only been 2 years. It feels like it's been longer.
I know, right? But we, my partner and I have owned and operated short-term rentals for something like eight.
Right.
You know, something like that. So, you know, the direction Airbnb's, for me, this was all very predictable because I was watching the market and I was looking at the data. We always want to make data-informed decisions. And what the data was telling us is that COVID completely skewed the market and that you had saturation. So you basically had this culmination of 2 points. You had data that was skewed from the guest perspective because of COVID. It's counterintuitive, but during the pandemic, people traveled. They were flush with cash. They had free time. Mm. So the traveling rates increased a lot. You had a lot more digital nomads and people just going on vacation, stuff like that. That point culminated with market saturation, which had been coming for years. And then you have stuff like regulation on top of this. So I was never entering like this game, like with these rose colored glasses, like, oh, everything's great. Like Airbnb's the new thing. It's like, man, I saw this coming. It was obvious. That's why I started my management business. Mm. I wanted to control the data. I wanted to be able to pivot from markets that passed regulation. And I wanted to see where this thing was headed. But I never felt like it's going to fail. And I still don't feel like it's going to fail. It's not going to fail. There's so much utility in having a house that you can rent on a lake as opposed to a hotel or motel, right? And they both have utility. But when you go to areas like Finger Lakes, which is the main area we operate in, they have long-standing history of renting to vacation goers. It's not going anywhere. The local economies heavily, heavily rely on these vacation goers. There's not enough hotels and motels to sustain them. And people our age and younger aren't often going to want to go to those hotels and motels.
Right.
So it's incredibly paradoxical if on one hand they have all those things. On the other hand, they're banning short-term rentals left and right, which it kind of feels like they're doing right now, but it's going to level off. I'm very confident. You just got to pivot, man. Bruce Lee said, you got to be like water, bro. You got to be like water. Like, innovate or die. That's it. Charles Darwin, it's not survival of the fittest, it's survival of the most adaptable. How are you going to adapt? And for us, the answer is it's multifaceted, but like having hybrid properties where we flip, like a lot of our properties are short-term rentals. During peak months, we flip them over to midterm rentals, right? Doing sister listings, being having a great pricing strategy, using multi-tier marketing, the Facebook groups, and all that type of stuff, man. It's just, you gotta survive with the times. It's 2024, so.
I will say that you really need to be an expert in order to, I think, run an Airbnb pretty effectively. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to, like, if you want to squeeze out every piece of juice you can out of your property, and if you're going to be Airbnb-ing it, and like, I think the management is, I would say probably 90% could somebody do on their own, yeah. But that 10%, which is really where you can juice your profits, is really where it makes sense to have a, and I should say 90% of the stuff you can do. If do you want them to do, do you want to do them? I wouldn't, right? But yeah. I think it's like, you know, it's available for people to do, but like the 10%, like the behind the scenes, the data stuff, the stuff that you see all the time, like just being at this point, cause you've done it for 8 years, almost 10, you know, whatever, it's close to 10 years. It's like, you have a doctorate now in this type of thing, mm-hmm. right? Somebody, a lot of like the Airbnb buyers I know now it's actually the first thing that they buy,
right?
Which is actually kind of crazy to me. Definitely. Like that really should be in the scheme of things, it may be like one of the later things you buy 100%. Is an Airbnb, right?
Yeah.
Like you buy some rentals, you're familiar with rental property, and then you buy an Airbnb. But a lot of people came in right in Airbnb, and maybe that's just my bias, but what is your thoughts on that? Do you think that maybe people did a little backwards and now they're getting 100%. In trouble?
It's like long-term rentals, and it's like flips, and it's like everything else, only more so. So it's everything is more. Everything is exponentially more. There is a lot of moving parts to short-term rentals to do it right. You know, during COVID, you had people, they inherited Gammy's house after Gammy died, and they kept the original flower furniture there, and the plastic covering, and they threw it up on Airbnb with pictures they took with their cell phone and rented out.
Yeah.
And now everybody's going, well, look at this, right? Yeah. It's a no-brainer. Now I have to deal with long-term rental tenants. Man, it's not that simple. And to people like me, it was very obvious that wasn't going to last, but what I see happening right now is the Pareto distribution setting in, which I'm sure you're familiar with. The 80-20 or 90-10 principle that psychologist Pareto came up with, which is essentially you're going to have 10% of the people doing 90% of the business. And the 10% that are doing it right, which I like to think we are, we still have room for improvement, always room for growth.
Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, we're doing it really well. They're going to seize 90% of the business, and short-term rentals are no exception. The people that were not meant to invest in short-term rentals will be out. You already see them moving out. They're selling their houses, they're flipping, or they're going back to long-term rentals. That's great. Good for them. I'm glad that they have an escape plan. That's something that I advocate for, is what I call the trifecta. If it's not going to work as a short-term rental, I want it to work as a mid-term rental or long-term rental, and I want to be able to flip it. If I can't break even on those back two things, I don't invest in the first.
Right, right. You know? So, is that like one of the things you see is like you have, let's call it, I don't know who your prototypical client is, but in my head, it's you got this, you know, stay-at-home mom or dad who's kind of bored, or a doctor, or a realtor, and they buy this property thinking that it's just going to be endless cash coming to them, and then they realize that they're running a hotel.
Yeah.
And then they go, holy shit, what did I get myself into? Yeah. This is brutal. Larry's calling me at 3 a.m. because the hot tub is not hot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's all very scary to me, where, like, in regards to my long-term rentals, I'm not doing anything like that, right? I'm not really worried about that. Obviously, if there's something serious, we'll take care of it. But just, like, the little minor, like, hey, what's the Wi-Fi code again? And, like, you didn't get back to him soon enough. Hey, I want to do an early check-in.
Oh, dude, it's nonstop.
Right, 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 right. I think I just saw that recently on one of the...
Yeah, it was probably Merritt.
Yeah, Merritt Harris.
He's right, man. It's nonstop, man. Yeah. Like, it is not real estate. It is hospitality.
Yeah,
right. Your purchase is real estate.
Yeah.
But the business itself is hospitality. And to be in the hospitality business, you need to be very hospitable.
Yeah.
So if that is not in your nature, or if you cannot build an apparatus to do that effectively, then it is not the business for you.
Yeah.
It's inundating, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Luckily, I have a lot of excellent people.
And I know that because my sister-in-law is like a beast at this. So she's like, she's on it. Like, if you're not on it, like you guys, and like, this is like so important. Like, it's like everything, like the customer service, it has to be like so important to you. Cause like, isn't that where it like comes down to, is like, how good is your customer service? Because these reviews are a big deal. Like, dude, if I see even like one weird review, I'm like, I'm out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we've got, listen, man, we've gotten some.
Sure.
We've gotten some.
Sure.
It's like, and it's already going back to kind of like the prototypical like client. When we first started Vibe, like, we were taking what we could get.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to build my garden.
Sure.
To attract my butterflies. And to build my garden, I need a proven track record of success outside of my own properties.
Yeah.
So we were taking stinkers of properties, you know, that are incredibly difficult to maintain a 4.8 or above status.
Yeah.
Like, our overall super host status is like a 4.84.
That's right, crazy now, for all the stuff you own.
It honestly is, man. Like, I'm proud of that number. Because I think about like where we got our start and some of the houses that we still manage. It's like, dude, that's not easy. Yeah. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And the reviews, especially when you are a manager, like the clients see it, like, it's a big deal, man. It's a real, and they are very difficult to get removed. You have to fall within very specific parameters for removal. So it's a lot, man, for sure.
It's a lot, because I even think about like the reviews on Airbnb are so much more taken into consideration than like a review on Google.
Yeah.
Like, a review on Google, you can kind of like ho-hum it and like, you know, 3.5 star rating on this restaurant. Eh, we'll give it a shot. Yeah. It's busy. Busy. But the Airbnb 3.5, you're like, golly, no shot. Right.
Especially if you're across like 20 reviews. And like, bro, no one's going.
Yeah.
And then when it sucks too, because when you get one right in the beginning, like,
you're toast.
It's tough, man.
Especially when you're starting out and you're like, you really need a bunch.
You do.
Oh, God, what a tough business. So what do you say to people? Like, why shouldn't people get an Airbnb?
I mean, there's tons of reasons. There legitimately is. Like, when people call me and they want to, like, get into it, or they want me to, like, manage their property, like, I don't sell them on anything.
Yeah.
I tell them what I do.
Yeah.
I tell them the value I can bring, and I'm as honest with them as I can. It's like, for one, you really have to be familiar with the data to buy right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be familiar with anything going on with regulations.
Yeah.
If you have a house on Cuca Lake, right? Mm-hmm. We manage a few on Cuca Lake. And you say, Josh, I want you to manage this house. I'll come in and manage it. I'm not too concerned with the regulations being passed. For your sake, I hope they don't. But if it gets shut down, it gets shut down. I'm not going to have any control over that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pivot, which is part of the reason I started my business. You as the owner, that could crush you.
Could.
You know, what are you going to do with a multi-million dollar house on Cuca Lake if you can no longer rent it as a short-term rental?
Right.
Or you can only rent it for, you know, 5 months out of the year or whatever.
Right.
It's game over.
It's game over.
So being very familiar with the data, having a realtor that you trust that is an expert in short-term rentals, which is very difficult to find, and just understanding that you're getting yourself a job.
Hmm.
I don't know where this idea came that it's like passive income.
Hmm.
It is not passive income, man. It is a job, and it is a job that requires you to be available at very inconvenient times.
Yes.
You know,
extremely.
I just did that thing on with Channel 8 for the eclipse.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we talked for a while, but the one little snippet they pulled out was me talking about like listen, I'm going to check this thing out, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not going to look at it, but I'm going to be busy.
Yeah.
All of my short-term rentals are booked.
Yeah.
This is when I work.
Yeah.
All my short-term rentals are booked on Christmas. This is when I work.
Yeah.
4th of July. This is when I work.
Right.
It's getting easier because I'm building out a team. I have a maintenance manager who's excellent. All the background professionals, but it's difficult, man. A lot of reasons not to invest in short-term rentals.
Yeah. No, but, and that's even why when you are doing the hard stuff that you guys do, why it's so much, you're giving so much value because nobody really wants to do that. I think like they'll give it a try. I think a lot of people probably try it out for a year or two and they're like, I'm not bringing the soap in.
It's 4 to 5 properties where somebody's like tapped out.
Yeah.
What I find.
Yeah.
4 to 5 and you have yourself a full-time job.
Yeah.
So you better hope they cash flow good and you better be factoring your opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Because you know, you get people and it's like, they want to bring, you know, muffins out in the morning to their guests. They want to do this, this, and this. It's like all that stuff is taking your time.
Right.
And I would love to give my guests fresh muffins every day. Yeah. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's too much time and it doesn't make sense from a fiduciary perspective.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. It's a hard business. It's truly a hospitality business. And you just got to figure out what you want to do. Some people are real passionate about it. They got their 5 short-term rentals and they're good. They love it.
Yeah.
You know, what allows me to do what I do in scales because I have staff.
Yeah.
You know,
do you love it?
I don't love it. I think it's a good investment vehicle. I believe in the future of short-term rentals and it's cool, but I'm not going to say I love it, man. Yeah. I love a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, work isn't one of them.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
I try to do a good job, man.
Yeah.
I love making people happy. I love providing people.
You love your clients.
I love my clients.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes they love me back.
Yeah.
depends on the day and how the monthly payout looks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough, man.
Well, you really earn your check. I'll tell you that.
I think honestly, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to see that from a client's perspective sometimes, but yeah, it's tough. It's a tough business.
So what else do you see with, I know, how can we grow our group more, you think? What do you think about our groups?
So, man, I look at it right now and I'm like, that's funny because I was just looking the other day, like for one, it's just like, it's been such a blessing to coordinate and cooperate with you on this has been the coolest thing because it's just, there's so much more value and power and kind of having that united front.
Like absolutely.
Your group has great interaction. I think you're over like 6,000 people now.
Yep.
I have almost 12,000 in one of mine. I have another one with like 3,500 for direct booking and stuff. Yeah. So it's like you combine the forces of those groups and that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
If half those people are interacting, that's, you know, 10,000 people or whatever. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So you just leveraging the Facebook groups and doing stuff like this, creating content, man, like people want content. When I create content, people often get excited about it. Like, why don't you do this more? This is cool.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And just creating a space where everyone feels welcome. Super important to me. Like you mentioned like newer investors, no matter your age, your race, your gender, like I want you to feel well-received in our groups. That's something that's really important to me. And, taking value and feeling valued, receiving that value and also not having to like give us anything. Like we're getting stuff, right? We're not martyrs.
Yeah.
But what we get is just being at the helm of a social networking group that pertains to the businesses we operate in.
Yeah.
I get clients, you get houses.
Yeah.
Like I don't need anything besides that.
Yeah.
Like I don't need a monthly fee.
Yeah.
I don't need you to sign any paperwork.
Right.
I just want you to show up and have a good time.
Yeah.
Have a couple drinks with us and talk real estate, man.
Yeah.
That's aces for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a ton of value in, I do get energy from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get value from going there and people are excited. People are happy being there. Mm-hmm. And it's very diverse. We actually have, I mean, it's black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian,
yeah,
young,
I love that, man.
Old.
I love that. Yeah.
I'm talking real young. We've got some decently older folks there too, which is great because I want to hear about the war stories. And, you know,
it's how cool, many, man. Age, hey, listen, ageism's a real thing.
Yeah,
like I want everybody to be there and feel welcome, man. And I just love that. I like the group we're creating. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's really cool. And you're obviously doing a great job, man. And I really appreciate all the stuff that you've been doing for our group and you know the groups that we're building together. And I know that you know it's not simple, but it's not easy, but it can be simple if everybody would kind of like works together. And I think just having consistency, having that last Thursday of every month, I thought was a really good thing that you really wanted to push through and make sure, hey, it's this day, this time. I would like to figure out at some point, you know, venue situation. I love Radio Social. I think it's getting tight.
I agree. Yeah.
It's getting a little tight. I think it's tough when people walk in, they're not really 100% sure, you know, who we are, where we are.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's, that's kind of the mystery of it too. Yeah, you're like, yeah. Well, where is this place? Where are, who are these people? So maybe that we, you know, again, work in progress, but I think overall it's, I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, me too. And I'm of the same mind. I remember we kind of looked into some alternative venues a while back, and now that our numbers are getting up there again, I think it's time to kind of revisit that situation and have something that's like, this is us.
Yeah.
The only people here are here for this this real estate networking event,
which
is cool. But yeah, I mean, Radio Social's fun.
I love
for
Radio
now,
Social.
It works great.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the future.
But I think if we can like get it to like 100 people, like if it's just like 100 people or even 75, right now 50, I think it's probably around, probably ranges 30 to 50 people. Mm. And if we could like be consistent with like 50 to 75 people, yeah, I would love, because, you know, you'd love for like, you know, somebody to throw out some pizzas. Because, I mean, I'm wondering what our bar bill from everybody is. It's got to be pretty substantial.
They make bread, dude.
Yeah,
they're doing, they make bread.
They're doing well.
Like, when I walk in there, they slap me up. Like,
you know,
they're good people. But, yeah, they're doing okay for a Thursday night. You know,
for a Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
All right, where can people find us? Where can people find you?
The best place to find me on Facebook, Joshua Max Briner. But also just, I encourage everybody, join Upstate New York Real Estate Investors, or I'm sorry. Well, yeah, join that group too. Yeah, that's your group. Yeah. And then my group is Upstate New York Airbnb Investors. So that's the place to find me, man. See my content, see what I'm up to, get value, ask questions. It's a great social networking platform.
It really is. And I appreciate you coming on here, brother.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man.
Joshua Briner, everybody. We'll see you later. Take care. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning into the Marty Gruzzani Show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us an honest rating and review. If you're on Spotify, make sure you follow us for weekly episodes.